Fleming Foundation presents The Doctor Is In. You've got questions, he's got answers.
I am not a number, I am a free man.
That is a quote from the upcoming podcast series with Dr. Fleming and Stephen Heiner on the late 60s TV show The Prisoner, and that is worth listening to. Now, Stephen Chaplin wrote in the comments section on the website and objected to your use of the word exploitation, to refer both to slavery and other forms of labor. Dr. Fleming, you answered his question, but I was interested in the freedom part. You said freedom is not just not being a slave and not being a poor man exploited by employers. You said even rich men are not really free.
You know, I've heard 1,000 times people quoting Janis Joplin to the effect that freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose.
Yeah, yeah.
Except, of course, she was herself singing a song written by Kris Kristofferson. She didn't write Me and Bobby McGee.
Oh, she didn't. I thought
no,
she did.
No, she didn't. That's Kris Kristofferson. Although it's actually a kind of brilliant song as pop songs go, it's completely wrong.
Oh.
It's completely wrong. Freedom is not the absence of constraint. It's not lack of money. It's not lack of legal freedom. Freedom is, it's the exercise of the virtues. Obviously, it's better to have $1 million in the bank than not have anything in the bank.
Because
if you got money, I mean, this is the insight of Aristotle that, say, Boethius would probably view with some skepticism. But, you know, if you don't have a sufficiency, you've got to be scrambling all the time.
Yeah.
And you can't devote your life to higher things, such as you and I do. Wealth makes it possible to carry out plans for having a good life. But that's not how most people, including most super rich people, make use of their wealth. I've known
really?
A lot of rich people, Rex. I mean, some of them were quite nice in many ways. Some of them were generous and benevolent. But if you asked me, do you know a rich person with whom you would exchange lives? Oh, don't be pied. Ridiculous. They are so naive because their wealth has shielded them. I was once visiting a very rich guy, a Rockefeller, in fact, in Florida. He lived in this beautiful encampment, you know, and he said, you know, people are so worried about private safety. I don't get it. I leave the keys in my car overnight. And I said, well, did you notice that as we drove in here, the two armed guards with automatic weapons waved you on?
Oh, yeah.
I said, nobody's going to bother you in here, but just don't try this in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Don't try this in Chicago. So wealth is useful if you know how to make use of it, but then poverty, reasonable amount of poverty, is useful if you know how to make the most of it. Some people are so completely tied to making money and to their business that they can't become fully human. There's the great line of Wordsworth, getting and spending, we lay waste our powers. I mean, this is early 19th century, and he could see what was happening. I used to know a very nice man, very wealthy and very very generous toward our activities, but he said when he was in his 70s, I spend more time working now than I did 20 years ago. So, but you're retired. Yeah, but I gotta make sure I hang on to my wealth and pass it on to my grandchildren.
Right.
I said, your grandchildren will probably be better off without the money.
Ah.
You know, I mean, making it easy for them to become spoiled, lazy, immoral brats is not a good thing. Not everybody wants to be Caligula or a rock star.
Right.
You know, look, how many rock stars would you really want to be? You want to be Keith Richard?
No.
I mean, think of it. I mean, they don't bathe regularly. They have no respect for other human beings.
Hedonism. It's all about the self. It's all about a rock star is involved in himself.
That's, right.
That's it. No, I really don't want that. I like what I'm doing now.
Yes, I think so. But you have to have a proper perspective. I mean, rock stars, film stars, and the super rich are, like most of us, they are slaves to their appetites, and particularly the baser appetites, eating, sex without tears or children, drugs, thrills, excitement, televised sports, all of these things which distract us from the real business of being alive and becoming a deeper and fuller as human beings and being reliable friends and fathers and relatives. Because when you get down to it, Rex, real freedom is not just the absence of a piece of paper that says you're free. It's not the fact that somebody owns you and could tell you what to do. Real freedom is a mental and moral and spiritual state. Now, a long time ago, there were two people who adhered to roughly similar philosophy, that is, a kind of Roman Stoicism. One was the slave Epictetus, and the other was the emperor Marcus Aurelius.
Oh, yeah.
But they were both free. For Marcus, he understood he had responsibilities as emperor. He had inherited those responsibilities, and he spent his life carrying them out. You know, he'd be in the saddle all day long reading Greek philosophy in the saddle.
Huh.
And he was not an athletic man, nor in good health, but he was free because he accepted the destiny which had befallen him, even though he would have preferred to live at home with his family and to spend his days studying.
Right.
The slave Epictetus got knocked around by an unfeeling master, but he was master of himself, so he was free. They sought truth in a world of illusion, a world of imaginary things that are supposed to make us happy. Wealth, fame, glory, sex, power. And of course, as Boethius tells us in the course of the Consolation of Philosophy, these things, enjoyable as they might be in the short run, they are products of fortune and they're easily taken away from us. And then we're very sad.
Hmm.
We're like a kid. You give them an all-day sucker and you take it away after 3 seconds. Not everyone can be a philosopher. Very few people want to be a philosopher or even a serious thinker of any kind.
Hmm.
But simple people, the simplest and most uneducated, can pursue truth. They can lead decent lives in a context of family and church where they exercise their responsibilities, where they're in control.
Right.
One big step in this is to detach your mind from the factories of lies that are known as the media. You got to get away from what the media tells you.
Yeah.
And by the media, I don't just mean TV and movies and radio and print. I mean also the whole educational system of the regime, which tells us that some people have been free and others suffered this terrible fate of slavery.
Mm.
Listen, human life is complicated and difficult. There have been slaves throughout history, like Epictetus, who led lives. Let's close with a quotation from Boethius.
Hmm.
Boethius, of course, is under sentence of probably death, whether he knows it or not. He's going to die soon.
Hmm.
And he is complaining to himself and to philosophy. That he has he's lost everything. He had everything once, wealth, power, children, successful, the ability to study, and now it's all but taken away from him.
Hmm.
And philosophy tries to explain to him, these are casual benefits of good fortune, and fortune is always fickle. You don't live in the Athenian Commonwealth where an angry mob condemned Socrates, the philosopher, to death. Your kingdom, the Commonwealth you live in, is different. And let me read you this. He says, in your commonwealth, to be governed by whose authority, that is the authority of the ruler of this commonwealth, and to be subject to her laws, is the greatest freedom that can be. The commonwealth is the kingdom of God.
Ah.
And the ruler, the sole ruler of that is, of course, the Blessed Trinity, that is the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen,
so,
brother.
To be subject, to subject yourself willingly to the laws which God has passed for us, to have this knowledge and to accept the casual blessings that come your way from fortune or hard work, but to understand when you lose them, you lose them. Your kid may die, you may get cancer, your house may burn down. And because your true commonwealth is not capricious, it is everlasting, and it only has one ruler. I think of the great line in one of the Anglican collects in the Episcopal Church. They begin by praying to everlasting God. He says, whose service is perfect freedom. And service here, of course, means service as in being a slave. By knowingly serving the purpose and will of God, that is how we become free.
Raindrops keep falling on my head, but that doesn't mean my eyes will soon be turning red. Crying's not for me, 'cause I'm never gonna stop the rain by complaining, because I'm free. Nothing's worrying me. Thank you. won't be long till happiness steps up to greet me.
This was a presentation of the Fleming Foundation.